Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets you to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Mondays are fun once again here on Drive Time Sports because we have lots of college football and even some NFL football talk to get into. Week one comes to a close tonight with a doubleheader between the Saints and the Vikings and then the Chargers and the Broncos. Travis, we had a very busy weekend for college football. The big story here in the state of Utah for the seventh consecutive time, the Utah Utes are victorious over BYU, but let me say this. I was pleasantly surprised with the way BYU played in this contest.
Yeah, they played much better, had a chance to win the game, and came up a little bit short. Just offensively, they just can't muster up enough points.
Look, if you're a Utah Ute fan, you cannot tell me you were not nervous when BYU got the football back.
They should have been.
With under 2 minutes to play the game. Especially the way this series goes. When BYU got the football back, and again, to no fault of Tanner Mangum, BYU was unsuccessful on that final drive, but Mangum put his receivers in the right place to make the big plays. They had two drops on that final drive. BYU had momentum, and you could sense that in this contest. So the Utes defense, I thought, lucked out over the final drive because BYU was in position to move the football. But over the course of the game, they didn't look out. They just dominated BYU. The fact is they gave up 13 points in the contest. So I'm not overlooking what the defense did. I'm just saying BYU was in position to really make that game interesting at the end. And they had a couple of very bad plays on that final drive.
They did. A lot of drops, like you said. And then they had that missed field goal, which was huge. I mean, offensively or defensively for Utah, they dominated up front and got a lot of pressure in the backfield on Tanner Mangum.
They did, and I think that's going to be something that we see a lot this year with BYU. I mean, the offensive line over the first 3 weeks, that they haven't been good, and that was something that I thought would be a strength for BYU. It turns out that's not the case. I know BYU fans at the beginning of the season, or in the offseason, I should say, they were confident that they would end the streak with Utah. Unfortunately, if you're a BYU fan, that streak will continue another year. But what does this mean for Utah? I mean, how good are the Utes? Where do they sit in the Pac-12 South? I'll say this about Utah. Tyler Huntley's taking way too many hits.
He is, and eventually one of those hits is going to knock him out because he is taking, like you said, a lot of unnecessary hits that he just can't take, and we're only three games in.
He has more carries than Zach Moss, and there's times where I watch him play, and he's got to slide. He's got to get out of bounds, and again, it comes with it. When you continue to play the Pac-12 schedule, once they get into the bulk of their schedule, taking hits against San Jose State, taking hits against North Dakota, yeah, okay, you can get through that. When you're constantly taking hits from the likes of USC and Washington State, these teams that are good top 25 squads, it takes a toll on your body. That's what worries me about Tyler Huntley. Now, you fans, blow that off. Blow that off if you want. I'm telling you, that is a cause for concern with this offense. I like Tyler Huntley a lot. I like what he's done over the first two games of the season, but I worry about his health moving forward.
No, I'm with you. He can't, like you said, he has a sled. He has to get rid of the ball, throw it out of bounds, but you can't take those hits because it's going to catch up to you. And it's going to ruin Utah's season.
AP top 25, Utah still not ranked. They would be number 26 if you were to go by the votes. Notre Dame dropping out of the top 25 with a loss to Georgia. UCLA moving in. That's the only change that we have. Not a whole lot of opportunity for teams who are unranked to actually move in. Do you like the fact that UCLA is ranked above Utah? Or do you believe that Utah is better than UCLA? Because in the AP, UCLA's 25, Utah's not ranked. In the coaches pool, Utah's 24. UCLA would be something like 29, according to votes.
I think Utah and UCLA are probably even.
It's close, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty close. I guess they give the benefit of doubt because they beat Texas A&M, I guess, is why they're ranked ahead of them.
You know, right now the rankings, you got to wait till about week 4, week 5 to where you start seeing the real true 25 best teams in the country ranked. And I say that because Florida is ranked in the top 25. Look, that team does not resemble a top 25 squad. I don't care if they had 10 players suspended in their week one matchup against Michigan. You are not going to convince me that that team is ranked top 25. Notre Dame suffered a one-point loss to Georgia. They're a top 25 team. Let's be honest. They have an All-American offensive line, two All-Americans on the offensive line. They're a top 25 team. I believe Utah is a top 25 team. South Carolina, you can make the argument they're a top 25 team. One squad that's already starting to pick up hype, I'm going to tell people right now, don't buy into it, Oregon. Stay off the Oregon bandwagon. Stay off of it, stay off of it, stay off of it, because they beat a Nebraska team that's not that great. They gave up 35 points to that Nebraska team, and the week before that, they beat Southern Utah. Stay away from Oregon. They're overrated once again, and they're not even ranked, and I'm telling you they're overrated. That's a team that's not going to make a dent in the Pac-12 North. But they're flashy. I guess it's sexy to say that Oregon is a fun team. I get it. They're putting up lots of points. Their defense is still garbage, as it has been for the past 4 or 5 years. You got a new coach patrolling the sidelines. And, of course, they do that stupid gimmick with their uniforms every week. I'm starting to see a lot of Oregon hype on social media. Stay away from it. They're not that good of a team.
Yeah, 42 points in the first half.
Yeah, come on.
And then a goose egg in the second half.
You beat Southern Utah week one. I like Willie Taggart a lot. I think he's the right guy for that job. Not yet. Give him another 2 or 3 years. Stay away from the Oregon hype.
Yeah, defensively, they stink.
They're not good. So we'll talk more college football. Joining us on the show a little bit later will be Antoine Staley, who writes for Athlon Sports in the USA Today. We'll talk about week two in college football. The big story, nationwide. Obviously, it's not Utah BYU. It's the pounding that Oklahoma gave Ohio State. I mean, they beat the crap out of Ohio State, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
They dominated this game in the second half.
JT Barrett is the most overrated player in college football.
The problem with JT Barrett is he can't throw, and I think there's always been concerns about the passing game with JT Barrett. It was exposed on Saturday. And Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield is a Heisman finalist. There's no question about it. He was flawless in this game. You know, 10 weeks from now, you look for Heisman moments. You start going back and looking at games. The fact is, Baker Mayfield threw for 389 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions on the road against an Urban Meyer Ohio State team. The Big 12 solidified a spot in the Final Four playoff if they just take care of business. Because if it's Oklahoma State, that's a monumental win for the conference. That's something that I think gets overlooked from time to time. You know, when you get down to it, and you have, because again, we have 4 playoff spots, 5 Power 5 conferences, okay?
Yep.
You have to look at conference victories against the elite. Oklahoma did Oklahoma State a favor with that victory Saturday night, especially if Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma. Monumental game as far as the playoffs go, and that was the number one story. Second story, USC looked dominant against Stanford, and I'm not taking a slight at USC here, Travis. That's a very impressive victory. Bryce Love did show promise. I think he ran for, 160 yards, if I remember right?
I think so, yeah.
160 yards. Stanford was able to hang with USC for a while. USC has the second-best 1-2 punch for running backs in the country, from what I've seen over 2 weeks. I think Ronald Jones is a top-3 running back. I think that Stephen Carr, who's a true freshman, and there's a lot of hype around this kid for a reason. He looked great in this contest against Stanford. Next to Chubb and Michelle for Georgia, I think they're probably the best 1-2 punch. And this is going to be crucial for USC moving forward because Darnold does not look like Darnold of last year. He's thrown 4 touchdowns. He's thrown 4 picks. A lot of pressure on this kid who's never started a full season. It's okay when you got the likes of Ronald Jones and Stephen Carr behind you.
And Darius Rogers at wide receiver. Offensive line did a good job of creating those holes Saturday night for USC, and they dominated up front, and eventually from the second quarter on, they dominated Stanford.
Yeah, again, that's the second biggest story, USC dominating Stanford in the second half of that contest to improve to 2-0. Pac-12 South game, you got to pay attention to that if you're a Utah Ute fan. USC 1-0 in conference play. And then outside of that, I mean, I guess the next biggest story would be Georgia knocking off Notre Dame 20-19 in a very good contest. I've talked to a couple of college football pundits. They believe that Georgia actually has enough defensively to hang with Bama this year. You buying that yet?
No, I'm not. Offensively, I think they'll struggle to score against teams like Alabama.
Had a freshman quarterback on Saturday, which is not going to be the case moving down. Look, I like the offensive line. And again, when you have Nick Chubb and Sony Michel in the backfield, I think that Georgia's legit. I think as far as the SEC goes, which this is odd, we only have one team from the SEC ranked in the top 10 right now in the AP top 25. I don't know when is the last time that happened. It's been a long, long time. Georgia's more legit than LSU. Georgia's more legit than Florida State based on the fact that Florida State doesn't have DeAndre Francois.
Yeah, Florida State's done.
Pay attention to Georgia. I agree. We'll bring Antoine Staley on. I'll ask him about Georgia. I think this is a good football team. I think Kirby Smart's doing a lot of good stuff. The fact is they went in and beat a pretty good Notre Dame team on the road with a freshman quarterback. That accounts for something. Pay attention to Georgia. I think they're going to make some noise in the SEC. We'll talk more college football in just a bit. Travis, we'll dive into the Major League Baseball scoreboard before
we... Are you sure you want to talk baseball?
No, not really. I mean, I don't want to. I know we have to. Tonight we get the Dodgers and the Giants. Kente Maeda, that's going to be the nightcap contest. Maeda on the mound for the Dodgers. Look, if you're in a slump, and a slump is an understatement right now for the Dodgers, is there a better slump buster than the San Francisco Giants?
The Giants are a pretty good slump buster.
Well, let's see if the Dodgers can handle that. Tonight at 8:15, Colorado at Arizona at 7:40. The White Sox will travel to take on Kansas City in the 6 o'clock hour. So will Seattle. They're on the road to take on Texas. 5 o'clock, we get Baltimore at Toronto, Detroit at Cleveland. The Yankees take on Tampa. We get Pittsburgh at Milwaukee. We've got a break for just a moment. Local sports coming up. We're going to talk to Coach Eric Nielsen of the Emory Lady Spartans soccer squad. These girls have done some good stuff in the early going. Second place in the region in only their third year of existence. That's coming up next, plus more college football talk. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
September is here and smoke is in the air. Hi, I'm Justin Kennedy from Auto Farm Price Auto Group. With all the hurricane tragedies going on in our country, there's going to be a shortage of used vehicles, so now would be a great time to come in and take advantage of our Auto Farm High Value Trade Sales event. Used vehicle shortage equals higher trade-in values. Now is a great time to take advantage of model year savings on all new 2017 Ram trucks. With every vehicle sold, Auto Farm will donate $100 to the American Red Cross in the customer's name. Come meet our awesome sales team and become part of the Auto Farm family.
We are back from commercial break, and it all comes down to this frame. A man-child with a dream to tap a bowling giant. If he strikes, he's the tour champion. He's got one foot in the frying pan and one in the pressure cooker. Believe me, as a former bowler, I know that right about now, your bladder feels like an about-to-erupt volcano.
Gateway Lanes on Main Street and Helper.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. We begin on the high school football scene, and this past Friday, the Emory Spartans suffered a 35-14 loss on the road to the Manti Templars in the final non-league game of the schedule. Emory got off to a quick start. They grabbed a 7-0 lead by the end of the first quarter as Kyson Stilson led Emory on a quick drive, two plays, 79 yards, before connecting with Rance Jensen for a 53-yard touchdown off of a screen pass. From that point on, it was all Manti as they scored 35 unanswered points. Emory added one more touchdown late in the contest as Kyson Stilson connected with Easton Gordon on a long 80-yard touchdown. In the contest, quarterback Kyson Stilson finished 9 of 22 through the air for 195 yards and two touchdowns. On the ground, Jensen accumulated 41 yards. Through the air at wideout, Easton Gordon had three grabs for 126 yards, and that included his touchdown. Emory will look to log their first victory of the season this Friday as they return home to begin the final homestand of the season, believe it or not. They'll take on the Judge Memorial Bulldogs. That'll be this Friday at 7 p.m. It will be the first of three straight home games. We stick with high school football, but we move over to Carbon High, and the Dinos also dipped to 0-4 in the non-league portion of the season. This time they dropped to Ogden by a final score of 28-19 in a game that was closely contested throughout. Carbon trailed 14-7 at the end of the first quarter, but they managed to trim that lead to 2, trailing 21-19 at the end of the first half. After playing to a scoreless tie in the third quarter, Ogden added one more touchdown in the fourth to pull away for the 9-point win. Despite the loss, the Dinos were led in this contest by Nate Olson, who was phenomenal once again. Olson managed to accumulate 240 yards on the ground on 36 carries and also reached the end zone twice. Carbon was with once again their starting quarterback Noah Jones, who was recovered from an injury. He completed 5 of 16 passes for 38 yards and threw 2 interceptions. Defensively, the Dinos got a boost from several individuals, including Ashton Larson and Colin Lewis, who led the team with 6 tackles apiece. The Dinos will look to notch their first victory of the season when they open up region play this Friday. They will take on the Union Cougars. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more regarding the Carbon Dinos in the coming days. We move over to the junior college ranks, and over the weekend, the USU Eastern Women's Volleyball squad, who was ranked number 13 in the country, suffered their first loss of the season in Rangeley, Colorado, falling to number 5-ranked Western Nebraska in straight sets. The contest on Friday was 1 of 4 over the weekend for the Lady Eagles, and they managed to bounce back nicely, winning their next game over Sheridan College in straight sets. On Saturday, they defeated Eastern Wyoming 3-1 and wrapped up the weekend with another 3-1 victory, this time over Western Wyoming. The Lady Eagles will look to continue their winning ways when they return to the court this Friday. They'll travel to Las Vegas, Nevada to take on MiraCosta College and also Victor Valley College. Both of those games will be on Friday. Saturday, they'll meet Edmonds Community College and Seward Community College. And we end with USU Eastern Soccer, where the men's squad finished 0-1-1 on the weekend as they opened up Scenic West Athletic Conference play on the road against the College of Southern Nevada. The first contest of the weekend ended in a 2-2 tie. USU Eastern then suffered a 2-1 loss on Saturday to wrap up the weekend. They'll look to bounce back this weekend as they take on Salt Lake Community College at home. That'll be both Friday and Saturday. And the women's soccer team was also on the road in Nevada, taking on the College of Southern Nevada, and they finished 1-0-1. First contest ended in a 2-2 tie. The Lady Eagles managed to get a win in the final contest of the weekend, 3-2. They, too, will take on Salt Lake Community College this weekend at home. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874 at 613-7874.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
Every great team starts with a great coach, and we at Jake Miller Financial Services want to be your financial coaches. It is our mission to help clients understand their financial lives and achieve their financial dreams. Let our experience and knowledge guide you through the game of life as we provide you with only the highest quality of information and services to help you reach your financial goals. Call us for an appointment today at 637-5433. With Jake Miller Financial Services, it's a beautiful retirement for the win.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Monday edition of the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to talk high school soccer. The Emory Lady Spartans had a highly important game last Thursday, battling with the Manti Templars on the road. The winner took over sole possession of first place. And unfortunately for Emory, they came out on the losing end of that contest. But they sit in second place all by themselves. Joining us right now to talk about that, how the season has gone so far, and what lies ahead, we have Coach Eric Nielsen. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's always great to be on your show, Jordan.
Well, I appreciate that, Coach. We'll start by talking about, the region play for you guys. Coach, you guys have played a lot of soccer in a very short period of time. In fact, only a handful of teams throughout the 3A classification have played more soccer than you guys have all the way around so far this year. But you are 2-1 in league play. The last game didn't quite work out so well. You guys lost to Manti, who is now in first place at the top of the standings by themselves. But all in all, Coach, how would you assess the way your team has played so far this year?
Well, I think we've been playing really well. Had some tough competition and some good games to play in. Really happy with how we started the region. Started off with a win at home and then got one on the road. Went over to Manti, had a tough game there. But all in all, we're sitting where we need to be. And as we talked before the season started, you know, our big goal right now is to get a matchup in the playoffs that we can be competitive with. And the way we've been playing so far in region, we're well on our way to do that.
Yeah, this Manti game, I mean, obviously it was a big game considering you both were undefeated. But, Coach, you guys have kind of solidified that number two spot. North St. Pete's right there with you at 2-1, but that's a team that you guys beat them handedly. And then after that, I mean, you have Richfield, who's got a losing record at the moment. Grand and South Sevier have yet to win a league game. So as far as the competition in Region 15 goes, I mean, you guys are right there to grab the number two seed, maybe even challenge Manti for the number one spot. So I'm sure you're thrilled with that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've got to remember, too, I still have a pretty young team here. Several of the girls have been starting for multiple years, but really 3 to 4 seniors that are playing a lot of varsity time this year, and we're just building on that. We're gaining momentum, I think, through the season. We've kind of gone out and shown the teams in our region that we're a force to be reckoned with, and we're sitting in second place right now. We've got Grand and Richfield coming up this week, and, you know, we plan to set the tone with them and come out with victory, too.
Yeah, when you and I talked at the beginning of the season, you had mentioned that you're a young team, but you do have a couple of seniors on the squad, girls that have been starters for 3 years. Have you noticed that leadership, Coach? Have you noticed that maturity level from these kids who have been 3 year starters on your team?
Oh, absolutely. They come in and, you know, they know what to expect throughout the season. And it's a long season and basically have 2 games a week. And, there have been girls that have stepped up as leaders and makes a big difference. It's just that maturity level to be able to do that.
Let's talk about a couple of individuals on this team. Alexis Winter has 9 goals so far for you guys, leads the team in scoring. Josie Funk has been the perfect second complement. She's got 7 goals. Morgan Herdsman has 4 goals. And so while, you know, these three kind of lead the way, I mean, that's a lot of parity between 3 girls. Typically, if I'm looking at box scores and I'm looking at squads, you don't have the high volume from that many players on a squad, at least in the box scores that I've taken a look at. So in that regard, I mean, you have 3 girls that are definitely doing work offensively for the team.
Oh, yeah, and we're thrilled with that. Anytime you can have several threats on the field, you know, teams kind of have to play you differently than just trying to shut down one girl, and I feel like we have that. You know, Alexis has come out and had some good shots and put 9 in. That's awesome this early in the season. And like you said, Josie and Josie Funk and Morgan Herdsman are right behind her, and you know, I look for them to keep scoring, and I think there's a couple other girls that could get a few goals in there as well.
Let's talk about what you guys have at goalkeeper so far. Melina McElvaney, for the most part, she's handled the goalkeeper duties, right?
Yeah, she's been our starter for the majority of the games this season. She's a senior this year and has done a lot of good things for us. This is her third year as a starter. So she's got the experience back there and really has played well this season.
I've always kind of felt, Coach, and I'm not too familiar with the game of soccer, but at least in my mild experience with it, I've always viewed a goalie kind of like I view a free safety in football, where like 90% of what they are going to do is instinct, and that's just something that you can't teach as a coach. I mean, as far as instinct goes, a kid has it or he or she doesn't have it. Is that a fair assessment when looking at the goalie position in comparison to the game of football, looking at a free safety and instinct?
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, we can do drills to them and walk them through different scenarios, but when you're there one-on-one and the ball's coming at you, that's, you know, it's pure instinct. You got to be ready to go. The difficult thing about being goalie that people don't think about is, you know, there's times in the game where they're not touching the ball and they really have to stay mentally in the game. But when that one moment comes and you you've got to be ready to make the play or not. And so, you know, it's really mentally taxing to try to stay in the game, and that's just an attribute that the goalkeepers have to get as well.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Eric Nielsen of the Emory Lady Spartans soccer squad. They are 2-1 in league play so far. Coach, you guys will pick up action once again this week. You have a home game and an away game. It'll start tomorrow as you guys take on the Grand Red Devils at home. Again, this is a team that has yet to win a game in league play. Only 2 tries so far, so there's not a huge sample size there. But during the season, do you prep for individual teams, or do you just focus more on what you guys need to improve on? I mean, what's your game prep like for league action?
Well, for the most part, we'll look at what we've done in the past, especially the last game, and make some changes to our game. What can we do better for ourselves? A little bit, you know, I'll look at a team a little bit and see what their tendencies are to do, but as long as we're working on our game and the way we play, that really doesn't change no matter who's on the schedule.
It is an important week for you guys because, again, two teams that haven't had huge success. I mean, if you guys were to win both the Grand Contest and then take care of Richfield, you have North St. Pete next week. So really looking at it, I mean, we're talking about 3 crucial games for you guys as far as the standings go. You can really solidify that number 2 spot, which, again, if you finish number 2, you get a home game, which I'm sure is the goal at the beginning of the year, right, to get a home game for the state tournament.
Absolutely. And like you said, we're finishing the first round of region this week with Grand and Richfield, and the girls really, you know, they need to come out and make a statement and say we're good enough to be second and host a playoff game, and I think they're to that point, and I think they're going to come out and do that.
The boys were in that situation this year, and they did get a home game. So, I mean, again, correlating the two programs, which I think can feed off of one another, for the girls to do the same thing in only, what, 3 years of existence, I mean, it's pretty remarkable for you guys to be in a situation right now where you're sitting at in the standings.
Oh, it is, and I attribute most of that to the work of these girls. They've been coming in, working hard all season, during the off season, and, you know, I mentioned that when we talked earlier, they're encouraging each other, they're helping each other, and we really do have that leadership now to come in and say, okay, this is our team, we're gonna take what we can and then put that on the field.
Coach, before I let you go, I want to bring up something that you and I were discussing before we jumped on the air, because for someone who maybe doesn't watch a lot of soccer, you just pay attention to the box score, you take a look at the standings, sometimes games can be misleading at this level. For instance, a 4-0 loss to Provo. That's a game that you brought up to me, and you said you were really happy with the way your team performed against a good Provo squad. So even though that was a loss, there were positives to build off of. What has been the moment this year where you looked at your team and you say, okay, you know what, that's how we need to play? Maybe it was a loss, maybe it was a win, but I thought it was interesting that you pointed out that 4-0 loss to Provo, because, again, that's a good team. So have you had instances this year where you've looked at your squad and you've said, you know what, if we play like that, we'll compete for a state title?
Yeah, and I think the Provo game was kind of the start of that, a little bit of a glimpse. We came against a big, tough Provo team, 5A team, came here and we played right with them. We were physical. We were aggressive. We had chances to score on them, and for the most part, you know, we shut them down. That was kind of the glimpse of that. We came back from that game. We worked on a little bit of our offense, and then I think the defining moment so far is when we went up to South Summit on the road. Long road trip, and our girls played great. They played hard. They were passing. The offense was working. Even though that was a tie game there, you know, the girls, the way they were playing and the way they were seeing the field, if we can continue that, you know, I think we can make a deep run in the playoffs this year.
Well, Coach, it's always fun to talk with you, always fun to get updates on the girls. Best of luck this week. I know it's a very crucial week for you guys. Hopefully we'll catch up again with you relatively soon.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks, Jordan.
That's Coach Eric Nielsen of the Emory Lady Spartans soccer squad joining us to talk about the season. Again, Emory will return to the field tomorrow to take on the Grand Red Devils. We're going to break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll recap a very busy and important week of the college football season. That's next on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price. Marty's Pawn and Arcade features the finest in sports memorabilia, autographed items, collectible art, and so much more. No matter what sideline you're on, they'll have your favorite team's collectibles. No team is out of market at Marty's Pawn and Arcade. From past legends to current stars, Marty's Pawn has the sports memorabilia you're looking for. That's Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price.
Four!
If you can't swing like a pro, you can at least look like a pro with the help of TK's Pro Shop at Carbon Country Club. TK's has it all from clubs and balls to lots of hats and shoes and a great selection of shirts with many colors and sizes to choose from. With the help of the experts at TK's Pro Shop, not only will you look like a pro, you'll be playing like a pro too. The golf course awaits. Get in and gear up today. TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course.
Many people believe baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter very much. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience for children. Call today and get your child on the road to good dental health. For appointments, call 637-9590.
Bye, kids! Have a great day at school! Now, work mode. Time to get portfolios ready for the 10 o'clock meeting. Fix all the account problems by 5. Run errands, football, carpool, dance class, help with homework, buy school supplies. I need more time in the day.
Getting stressed out about balancing work and family? Dinner is easy at KFC. Pick up an affordable 8-piece meal deal with juicy, crispy chicken, savory mashed potatoes and gravy, coleslaw, and biscuits. The kids will devour it, and busy moms all around will get refueled to take on tomorrow. No matter how busy you are, KFC has dinner handled.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag a little bit about some of the amazing students we have representing the college. I'd like to recognize our volleyball, softball, and soccer teams for the time and service they're giving to our local elementary students by helping with reading programs and other school programs. Thank you, student-athletes, for being role models to our youngest community members and for helping to make the future a little brighter because of your efforts. For more stories about the incredible student body we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
Sick and tired of having to wait to get service work done on your side-by-side? Bend Metal Off-Road will get you in quick. Get the work done and back on the trail. Schedule an appointment today by calling 820-0247.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Beagles.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to talk college football. And joining us right now over the phone, great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports, also covers the Miami Dolphins for the USA Today. He has a vote for the Heisman, so definitely he's got an opinion that I certainly care about, and I know you do as well. Antoine, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you again for taking out the time to join us.
Yeah, no problem, Jordan. Nice to be with you.
Well, I appreciate it a lot. We'll dive right into it. In the number two team of the country now, the Oklahoma Sooners. I think this was the big story over the weekend. Not only did they beat Ohio State, they destroyed Ohio State in the second half, no less. We're tied 6-6 at the end of the first half. And, Antoine, they outscore Ohio State 28-13 over the final two quarters. Shocking, to say the least, considering that this game was so close. And, again, Oklahoma was on the road. Huge win.
Yeah, it definitely was, and especially coming out. Remember last year, Ohio State did the exact same thing to them at Norman. So you had nobody really thought Oklahoma had an opportunity to win this game. And Baker Mayfield had a much better game than he did a year ago. Oklahoma defense played outstanding. I thought Lincoln Riley, obviously the head coach now with the offensive coordinator a year ago, had a great game plan on how to attack the Ohio State offense and defense for that matter. JT Barrett, he wasn't very comfortable, didn't really play particularly well, and still really hasn't. There's still questions about him as a passer, to be completely honest. So, yeah, Oklahoma looks like they're a legit threat for the national championship. They have all the weapons. They have a veteran quarterback, really good running game, and the defense has really come along well. So it wouldn't surprise me, especially in that Big 12, if they were to be there in the playoff at the end. Of course, it's a long way to go, and I think Oklahoma State is going to have something to say about that as well.
Yeah, but they do control their own destiny with this victory, and that's really what it means. But you did mention JT Barrett for Ohio State. He hasn't looked comfortable in either of their first two games, and I think that is definitely a problem for Ohio State moving forward. The fact of the matter is he's completing nearly 50% of his passes. That's not going to get the job done, Antoine.
No, it's not. And we've seen JT Barrett for a few years now, whether he came in relief for Cardale Jones or Braxton Miller, where he was starting. And as a freshman, you thought, okay, this guy, he's still just learning, trying to get the quarterback position. He's a freshman. He's a sophomore, still learning how to throw the football and throw it accurately. But now he has experience, and he still seems like he has the same things we saw as a freshman and as a sophomore. And I don't know if it's the offensive coordinator. I know they have a new offensive coordinator in Kevin Wilson, who came over from Indiana, was the head coach there. I don't know if he's out of sync with him. I don't know if it's just him not being in sync with the receivers or whatever the case may be. But Ohio State's going to have to figure it out, because you got a good Penn State team that's around there, and they look every bit as good as they did last year, maybe even better. Yeah, I know the game is in Columbus, but at the same time, you have to see. For me right now, I think Penn State is the better team, at least looking at it after the first 2 weeks.
Baker Mayfield goes 27 for 35, 386 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. On the road against Ohio State, that's a Heisman moment. Second week of the season, I know it's early, but again, that's a Heisman moment. That's a Heisman-type performance.
Yeah, I don't know. We shouldn't be surprised at this point. The man's been a Heisman finalist the past 2 years, and so far it looks like he's going to be a Heisman finalist for 3 straight years. Possibly, if he can remain healthy and Oklahoma is in contention, which by all accounts he probably will be. So, I'm not surprised. Baker Mayfield, great story, walk on. Obviously, started his career at Texas Tech, got to Oklahoma. Absolutely great story, and also obviously one of the best players in college football. I know he took a lot of slack for playing the flag, or at least trying to play the flag in Ohio State. In the middle of the field, but you got to love college football. I know I'm not saying I agree with what he did, but you get the emotion, you get all kinds of pageantry and all of that in college football, and I think that's what makes it so great.
Again, we're being joined right now by Antoine Staley as we talk college football. Let's move over to the Pac-12. We'll talk about USC's performance against Stanford. This was a scary game, I think, for a lot of USC fans, especially the way they looked week one against Western Michigan. Stanford's a very capable team. Bryce Love, obviously very dynamic, can fill right in for the likes of Christian McCaffrey. There are weapons there in Stanford, and I believe David Shaw to be one of the top 10 coaches in the country. I'm a huge David Shaw fan, yet at the same time, USC passed with flying colors, and this is really a very difficult game the second week of the season. Sam Darnold still does not look great. His touchdown-to-interception ratio is zero at this moment, which is a little bit shocking. But one thing that stood out to me in this game, Antoine, Stephen Carr, Ronald Jones, maybe the second, if not the best, 1-2 punch out of the backfield. I still like Sony Michel and Nick Chubb quite a bit in Georgia, but again, you talk about Carr and Jones, they're definitely the best 1-2 punch out of the backfield in the Pac-12. They were impressive on Saturday.
Yeah, if you're going to have your quarterback struggle, you might as well have you need to have a good backfield, and that's something USC has had. So, definitely, they really held them up, did a great job there. I thought, if you talk about the most impressive win of the weekend with Oklahoma over Ohio State, this definitely had to be number two. I know they were at home. I know they did exactly what they had to do, but just the manner that they just beat down Stanford, to be completely honest. And as you alluded to, David Shaw, definitely one of the better coaches in college football. And, yeah, I expect Sam in order to get better as the time goes on, but as of right now, he's definitely struggling, obviously, against Western Michigan. And then you got this week against, Stanford didn't necessarily play particularly well. But Stanford's a good football team. But I think he'll be all right. But until then, like as you alluded to, you got a lot of talent, not only in the backfield, but also in the wide receiver core as well. Solid offensive line. And the defense played particularly well to stifle that Stanford offense as well.
Antoine, if we take a look at the conferences itself, the SEC right now only has one team ranked in the top 10 in both the AP and the coaches poll. Really out of the norm. Typically, you're seeing 2, 3, or 4. LSU and Georgia are both 2-0. Georgia got a win with a freshman quarterback on the road against Notre Dame this past Saturday in a brilliant contest that came down to the wire. And again, LSU was a perfect 2-0. How difficult is the SEC outside of Alabama?
I think it's going to be much better this year. Obviously, we know about Alabama. I know Auburn lost to Clemson. I know Clemson has a very good defense. They're still coming along with Kelly Bryant at the quarterback and still have some new players to figure out. But I still like Auburn. I still think they're a non-win team, at least. LSU, I think, we'll see more about them. They play Mississippi State this upcoming weekend, so we'll learn a little bit about them. And Georgia, I said this before, and I'll say it again. I think Georgia, if anybody's going to challenge them, challenge Alabama for the SEC championship, I think it's them. Yeah, I expect, you know, I expect them to be right there. Obviously, the backfield there, they'll get their, they'll get Jacob Eason back in the starting quarterback position at some point throughout the season. But the freshman didn't look entirely bad. Obviously, the throw, they phenomenal catch against Notre Dame really helped him, and obviously the field goal ended up winning the game. But yeah, I think Georgia is a 10, possibly 11 win team, especially in the SEC East. And you got South Carolina, I also think is very kind of under the radar. Nobody's really talking about them yet. So you can, I think those two teams, and of course Tennessee getting the win over on Labor Day against Georgia Tech. So I think it's a much better league than what it was last year. So we'll see what how it all transpires as the year goes on.
All I've talked about in regards to Georgia throughout the offseason and going into the season is what they have in the backfield. Yet their defensive front looked very, very good on Saturday. And to put this in perspective, on the left side, Notre Dame has two individuals that are probably top 20 draft picks in the upcoming NFL draft between Mike McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson. And they were worked on Saturday. In fact, the game ended with the left side getting blown up and ended up being a strip sack on Brandon Wimbush. So Georgia's front line so far this season has looked really, really good.
Yeah, the defense in general, to be completely honest, but especially the front four. I think Kirby Smart has done an excellent job just kind of building that team around kind of what Alabama's done, building up for, he believes it, a team to be built up front, and that's kind of what Nick Saban has done. Whether you're talking about the offensive line, also talking about the defensive line of Georgia, and yeah, I think that front four, if you, other than Alabama, I think that's probably the best in the SEC, to be quite frankly with you. So yeah, Georgia had they were 16th best defense a year ago. They returned 10 starters on that side of the ball, and there's no reason to think, and at least so far, that like they're going to be a great defense once again.
Right now, four out of the top 10 teams in the country in the AP poll belong to the Big Ten. Wisconsin's 2-0. They did drop a spot in the AP top 25. Ohio State dropped six spots. I don't know if Ohio State's worthy to be in the top 10 following a beatdown like that at home, only having one victory this season. But again, that's kind of a clear indication of what happened in the preseason rankings. Penn State looks pretty good this year. I'm on the Penn State bandwagon. And, of course, you got Michigan. This is really, really early in the season, but is Penn State the team to beat in this conference now? Is that fair to say?
That's what it looks like for me. I know Pitt's not necessarily a great team, but they did exactly what they had to do. They just put beat down. I know it's out of conference rivalry, but Penn State, they looked impressive not only against Akron, but also against Pittsburgh as well. And they look like they really want to make a point. They didn't make the college football playoff last year. They won the Big Ten. They feel like okay, they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. That's what it kind of seems like to me. So they like okay, we lost that game. We lost the game last year early in the season, obviously to Pittsburgh, but we're going to go ahead and control our own destiny and. We just continue to win out, and there's no way they can keep them out this year, especially the way they're playing. And Ohio State, like, as I alluded to, I definitely don't think they're the best team right now, even though the game will be in Columbus. The way Penn State is playing, especially when you got arguably the best running back in the country in Barkley, and you got Mitt Sorley there at quarterback, I think they can go in there and beat the Buckeyes in Columbus.
No, I agree 100%. Last question before I let you go. One of the top five conferences is going to get left out of the playoffs. And I know it's way too early to be talking about this in week three. But if you had to make a prediction right now, would it be the ACC or would it be the Big Ten that gets left out? Because in my mind, the Pac-12 is almost a lock because Washington or USC play each other in the regular season, which means both will probably be undefeated when they meet at the end of the year or at least one loss or less. Outside of that, the Big 12 looks great right now with Oklahoma getting the win and Alabama seems to be a lock. So by process of elimination right now, it'd either be the Big Ten or the ACC, and Florida State no longer has DeAndre Francois, and I don't know about Clemson. I still think there's some question marks. Which conference in your mind right now would be left out?
It'd probably be the ACC, just simply because of what you alluded to. I like Clemson. I think Clemson, if I had to pick it, they're the best team in the ACC right now. There's something, you know, strength for their defense. I know Florida State has a great defense as well, but I like what I've seen out of Kelly Bryant. No, he's not a Deshaun Watson, but he's actually a better running than Watson. I think the throwing ability and decision making will come eventually. But they have a ton of talent around them. Offensive line is solid. So they're not going to ask him to do too much. It's going to be interesting to see their game against Louisville. this upcoming weekend. I'm still not sold on Louisville. I know they're 2-0, barely beat Purdue. Didn't look good against North Carolina, a team they should have, I thought, beat by handedly. So we'll see. I'm a big fan of Lamar Jackson. That's not my concerns are not with him. It's more or less the Louisville defense. And they're going to be tested this weekend. So for me, that's definitely the best game of the weekend, the game I'll definitely be keeping an eye on. But answer your question, definitely the ACC, because you look at the Big 12, you got Oklahoma. Oklahoma State is there. As you alluded to, the Pac-12, Washington, USC, Alabama, and the SEC. If somebody were to beat Alabama, maybe Georgia, and then the Big 10 has a abundance of contenders right now. So this process by elimination, it has to be the ACC.
Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports and also the USA Today covering the Miami Dolphins. Let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can find me at Athlon Sports, definitely on there, doing previews. Also talk about the late on this week I'll be doing, talking about the first couple of weeks of the season, breaking down teams that have impressed me and have not, and things of that nature. So you can catch my work on there. And if you happen to be a Dolphins fan, you can definitely catch my work on USA Today at Dolphins Wire.
Antoine, always a pleasure. I always look forward to the conversation. Thank you. Hopefully we'll do it again next week.
All right. No problem, Jordan.
Always fun for some college football talk here on Drive Time Sports. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more coming up here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss. It just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. So delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
Summer's last sizzling sale is here at Sutherland. Add curb appeal to your home with a new walkway. Save 25% off all in-stock paved stone pavers and blocks. Save big on all canning supplies. We have a wide variety of jars, lids, labels, tools, and more. All 25% off. It's the perfect time to finish your sprinkler system. All Genova or Orbit pipe, fittings, and sprinklers are 25% off. Don't forget huge savings on the three special super sizzler items. Sutherland's, helping you build it better.
You did it. You survived the summer, having kids home, road trips, driving to sports tournaments all summer long. It's time to reward yourself. How about a new vehicle just for you? The lending pros at Desert View Federal Credit Union are here to help. Come into a branch today in Huntington and Farron for a quick and easy pre-approval and a great interest rate. At Desert View Federal Credit Union, they make it easy to reward yourself. Enjoy your new ride. You've earned it.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
At Emory Medical Center, patients are like family with the most comprehensive care around, including on-site x-rays and lab work. Emory Medical Center gives quality health care in one convenient location with doctors and physicians who put the patient first. Emory Medical is excited to announce the return of physician's assistant Lowell Morris. To make an appointment with Lowell or any of the other trusted providers, call 381-2305. Emory Medical Center, your friends, your neighbors, your providers.
Lamar Odom, want to say what's up to Drape Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Bryant to Odom, Odom, oh, throws it down, and a foul!
First questions, first on this. Baker Mayfield attempting to plant a flag on field turf, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. He did apologize today for celebrating Oklahoma's victory by attempting to plant the Sooners flag at midfield. Of the shoe.
He should apologize because he didn't put two flags at center field.
Okay, that was going to be my question. Should he apologize?
No.
Why?
they went in there, what a big game. There's nothing disrespectful about that. He's just putting the flag at center field. They're having a good time. I mean, Ohio State went in there and was singing their fight song and all sorts of crap last year. So
I'm mixed on this because it's not a classy move. It's not. I have a problem when schools do this to other schools that haven't warranted it. You know, they say two wrongs don't make a right, so that's why I'm kind of iffy on this. Ohio State, they're cocky, they're arrogant, they have been for quite some time. They play with a chip on their shoulder. I'm not saying that's a negative.
It's not like he vandalized anything.
But at the same time, I don't know.
I mean, the flag didn't really stick. It just fell over.
Well, it didn't stick because
it's field turf. I guess he didn't realize that the flag's not going to go in the field turf.
Right? It is turf, right?
Yeah, it's field turf.
Okay,
so
I'm iffy on it. Look, I appreciate the fact that he apologized.
Yeah, good for him.
I appreciate that. I understand why he did it. At the same time, I don't think it's a classy move. Do I think Ohio State deserves something like that? Yeah, kind of. But it's, again, two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, I'm iffy on that whole situation. Travis, we haven't talked a whole lot about the NFL. We typically save that for Tuesday during the season, so we're going to dive heavy into week one of the NFL tomorrow. In fact, week one actually comes to a close tonight. Saints-Vikings, who do you like in this contest?
I like the Saints.
Ooh, you're going to go with the Saints on the road.
I think Adrian Peterson has a big game against his former team.
I think he'll try to have a big game over his former team. I think Minnesota defensively is too good in this game. I'm going to go with the Vikings. Chargers, yes, the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego on the road taking on the Broncos. Who do you like in this one?
I like the Los Angeles Chargers.
Of San Diego. That's how I'm referring to them on the show. They're the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego. Nobody wants them in L.A. I think people in San Diego are ticked off that they're in L.A. I think L.A. people, for the most part, are ticked off. I had someone tell me, well, they sold out the StubHub Center. Well, yeah, it sits like 28,000 people. I hope they sell that place out. Chargers, Broncos, give me the Chargers tonight. I think they handled Denver. Quarterback situation a little murky for the Broncos. Trevor Siemian has an opportunity tonight to make a name for himself. Is he going to? Eh, probably not. National TV game, high pressure. I'm going to take the Chargers in a win tonight. I think Gordon has a big game. I think Melvin Gordon has a big game tonight.
Yeah, I just don't think the Broncos. I think the Broncos are a 7-9, 8-18 this year.
It's probably a fair number. We'll recap all of Week One tomorrow. Typically, we also have Coach Josh Huntsman on the Tuesday shows from Carbon. We have Coach Famalo on the Wednesday shows. I want to thank Coach Eric Nielsen for taking out the time to join us today. He is Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Be safe. We're out.
Grandma, why is your internet faster here at your house than mine is in Salt Lake?
Because we have eFiber Internet from Emory Telcom. With eFiber, we have the fastest internet anywhere.
Look, I don't have to wait for my movies to load, and I can play my video game at the